Additional thoughts on the Tableau Data Zone, Part 2. Introduction. A few days ago, I wrote about feeling like I was in the Tableau Data Zone and the confidence this has given me when working with a wide array of data. I really didn't think anyone would read the post, but for some reason I was wrong. Every time I write something that seems to me to be unlikely to be of interest to others, it gets more attention than I expect. If I could only figure out how to use Tableau to predict this phenomenon, I'd have another great blog post to write. In general, I have a certain trepidation writing this blog because there are so many highly skilled people working with Tableau that I feel that any contributions I can make to the Tableau knowledge base will be trivial compared to the work of others. In particular, before hitting the publish button last week for the Tableau Data Zone article, I feared that this story might be interpreted as words with no meaning. I just wanted to express what has happened to me as I have learned to use Tableau software over time. As I was writing the story, there were a few examples from my life that I could have used to explain what I was feeling, but I didn't include them because the story would have gotten too long. Today is a new day, and I feel like writing about those examples of people working in the zone to give additional perspective of what it feels like for me to be working with Tableau software. It is very late at night. My wife keeps telling me to come to bed, but I've got to get these thoughts out of my head before they are gone for good. I also want to take the time to recognize other people that have either knowingly or unknowingly helped me improve my Tableau skills through their selfless work in the Tableau community. Their contributions collectively have brought me a lot of inspiration and have allowed me to do things that I can now do. The first time I saw someone in the zone. I grew up in Chicago as a multi-sports fan. I was very lucky to be able to watch Walter Payton play football for the Bears for all of his career. In 1980 or so, I got to see Walter Payton play basketball at my high school in a demonstration game against our teachers. Although Walter was only 5 foot 10 inches tall, I vividly remember a play where he stole the ball, sprinted down court, and then jammed the basketball so easily that it looked like he had just jumped down from the ceiling. I never knew that someone could jump that high. It had been reported they had a 41-inch vertical leap, but I think he had a secret jetpack strapped to his back. One of his trademark plays was when he leaped high above all blockers in front of him to score touchdowns. He was able to defy gravity. Go to 3 minutes in this video, and it was a pleasure to watch him play with such great passion. Walter was always in the zone when he played football. There were so many reasons why his teammates called him Sweetness. The man was a legend, and he worked very hard to get in the game, to be great in the game. The second time I saw someone in the zone. I was doubly lucky to be in Chicago when Michael Jordan was drafted by the Bulls. For his first 2 or 3 seasons, before the Bulls were to become a formidable team, I was lucky enough to get to watch Michael play at the Chicago Stadium when many of the seats were still empty. His competitiveness, athleticism, and charisma were a sight to behold. The man was another legend, and he played in the zone for many years. His exploits are well documented, but I remember thinking about his skills when I watched him play. People are not necessarily born with the full complement of skills that he had. A lot of the practice went into making him what he turned out to be. The same could be said of Walter Payton. Since he worked harder than anyone else in the offseason, since he worked harder during the offseason than nearly everyone else. Walter's offseason hill training regimen is still emulated by players wanting to be great. The third time I recognized a zoner. I worked with a man named Dudley Benton early in my career. When you talk about mathematical and programming talent, Dudley is in a class by himself, relative to everyone I've ever worked with. Brilliance is the only term that comes close to describing what he was able to do by programming a computer. His codes were years ahead of their time, and the efficiency, accuracy, and robustness of his programs were astounding. Although I was a professional programmer capable of producing some highly sophisticated mathematical codes, when I tried to read Dudley's codes, it was like reading another language. The man was, and still is, a genius. Dudley lived in the programming zone. The Tableau Data Zoners. There are a bunch of people that deserve to be written about because they do some remarkable things with Tableau software. Unfortunately, I only have direct experience with a few of these brilliant teachers. So if you are not mentioned below, it isn't because you don't deserve to be. These people have the passion, insight, and experience to help drive the future of the software. In particular, I have to mention a few people that have helped me learn new techniques and to understand how Tableau works. I really appreciate all the help I've received from everyone listed below, even if you don't realize you are helping me. That is one of the cool things about blogs and social media in general. You take a risk by producing and publishing your stuff, but every once in a while it turns out for the good because you have helped someone and have managed to spread your knowledge around. First off, there is Joe Mako. Joe has helped literally hundreds or even thousands of people solve their Tableau issues. Joe is one of the most remarkable, giving people I've ever had the opportunity to work with. Joe is always willing to help talk to you and to help you resolve your problems. I do not believe that Joe was born with a copy of the Tableau source code permanently etched in the neural network of his brain, because in our early days of using Tableau, there were some questions that I posed to Joe that he couldn't answer at the time. He has worked his tail off to gain the skills and insights that he shares with us. He may have invented a new language, or he may have invented his own language to describe how Tableau works, with words like data densification, data scaffolding, data domain padding, domain completion, range awareness, and effective, relative, and advanced compute using. He has reverse-engineered parts of the code by trial and error so that he knows what Tableau will do before it actually happens. Watching him work is a spectacle, as he is very calculating and makes moves like he is a grandmaster playing in a timed chess match. The show me button doesn't exist for Joe. He doesn't let Tableau tell him what to plot. He tells the software what he wants to plot. It is a different way of working when you are watching it unfold before you on a computer screen from 2,500 miles away. You realize the command that he has over the software. Additionally, if your brain works at 800 gigahertz, Joe's brains will be working at twice that frequency. You know you have met your match when the first question Joe asks you about an example is, "What is your compute using?" And you pause, you think about it for a minute, and you answer, "My brain? My computer?" And finally, "I give up. I have no idea." This man is a Tableau legend, and he lives and breathes in the Tableau data zone. Secondly, there is a man in Maine named Jonathan Drummy. This dude is meticulous, insightful, and is masterful at documenting his techniques. Where he finds the time to do what he has done is unbelievable to me. He has pushed the limits of Tableau with some outlandish examples that blow my mind. I find myself constantly going back to some of his earlier blog posts to see if I can finally understand what the heck he is actually talking about. He is a master of invention, and I have learned a ton from him. I can only imagine how he uses Tableau on his real job. He and Joe help so many people that they should be paid a handsome salary from the Tableau Community Bank. Not so long ago, Jonathan had another guy show up on his blog as a guest blogger. His name is Noah Salvaterra. This guy is Einstein in disguise. There is no picture of him except for a tea kettle. I cannot believe the stuff that he is doing in Tableau. So one day I decided to call Joe Mako to ask him if he had ever heard of this guy. I asked Joe, "Is Noah Salvaterra a real person, or is he just Jonathan's alter ego?" Joe assures me that Noah is a real person and that he had helped train Noah in the methods of Tableau. Figures. Enough said. With Jonathan and Joe's help, Noah has gone from a Tableau newbie into the Tableau stratosphere in one season. It is obvious that he has an enormous amount of talent, and Noah's blog post will live in infamy. His recent spinning globe/earthquake visualization is tremendous. Hey, I'm a geologist and I love this type of data. One day Tableau might catch up with Noah, although I'm not sure that it will happen anytime soon. For several years, I kept noticing that I really liked the stuff from a guy named Andy Kriebel. Sometimes things just click with you, and Andy's contributions are pragmatic and they make sense to me. It might be that Andy does a lot with sports dashboards, and those insights are appealing to me. He was also the first to show me some other cool technologies like Visify. I always thought that Andy worked for Tableau because he was fully Tableau compliant. He fully bought into Tableau. I was surprised when I realized that he worked for Facebook because he is such a Tableau master. Similar to Andy, there's a gal named Jen Underwood down in Florida that is just prolific across a wide platform of tools and technologies. She is like a machine. I cannot recount how many mornings I was reading her blog as I rode my stationary bike trainer this past winter. She blasts out so much timely material that you just have to have a part-time job following her blog just to keep up with her. Alan Walker's mapping extension work in Tableau this year has been outstanding and is really pushing the boundaries of what is possible. Alan is always very helpful and quick to respond to requests for help. He is my best buddy that I've never met. Along with Alan, Craig Bloodsworth has been instrumental in helping me with the Alteryx and Tableau combined experience. Craig is also quick to lend a hand when needed. Although Jeffrey Schaefer's website homepage is intentionally one of the simplest looking pages in web history, don't be fooled because there's some great content on his site. His Tableau skills are outstanding, as evidenced by his recent win in the Tableau Quantified Self-Viz contest. There are a bunch of really cool people that write excellent blogs and do great things in Tableau. Each day I try to catch what everyone is doing, but it isn't always possible. When I think about the people that I want to follow, this list is extensive and includes a bunch of UK guys, Andy Cockreave, Russell Christopher, Matt Francis, and many others. The artists, Kelly Martin, Anya Ahern, and Jewel Laurie. There's Mark Jackson, Ramon Martinez, Dan Murray, and a bunch of Innerwork staff. There's Francois Argenet, Ben Jones, Dustin Smith, and numerous other Tableau staff. There's Peter Gilks, Dan Montgomery, and Joshua Milligan, the Viz Painter. The amount of material being produced and the innovations being developed on a daily basis are awesome, and I'm glad that I get to see this work unfolding in real time. The future is bright for Tableau and all of us that use it to make sense of this crazy world. Parting thought. I think it would be great if someone could put together a visual history of Tableau development by showing what was possible in the software over time. The presentation could be one dashboard per year that represents the best use of Tableau at the time the dashboard was created. I think we would all be astounded by how far Tableau software, and we as users of the software, have come over the past few years. Update 2 months later. I didn't plan on writing anything else about being in the Tableau data zone. However, circumstances occurred which were too striking for me to ignore, so I wrote the final part of the series. Click here to read the final post titled The Conclusion of the Tableau Data Zone.